we have a little sound clip from Beyond's Katharine Hepburn. What did you think about Forever, Darling?
Frankly, it's not my kind of film.
Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. And this is one of those episodes, again, where we are lucky enough to have Carrie Ketterman with us from the Not So Long trailer. And we're doing a second movie review. And this time it will be with Forever Darling, starring our two favorite people, Lucy and Desi. Yes. So we're very excited. Carrie has seen it a few more times than Ziva and I have. But I love that we just got done watching it because it's like fresh on our minds.
Yes.
Yeah. So welcome, guys. Yeah.
Hello again. Thank you for having me.
Hi. So Ziva, when you your first impression, like, was it, oh, okay, this is the long, long trailer. This is a long I Love Lucy episode, or wow, this is totally different.
When they opened with the fish and heel joke right off the bat, I was like, oh, this is going to be an interesting movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just like, this is the kind of movie we're getting, I guess. It is
the writing.
An all right movie. I think, mm-hmm. Please don't hate me, everyone that's listening to this. I think that they did as good as they could have done with the writing that they were given. Yeah. I feel like the story was not succinct. There was too much going on. Like, I was like, okay, is this a romance? Is this supposed to be like sci-fi fiction? Like, what's with the Guardian Angel?
Yeah,
they didn't bring it all together. Maybe like they could have. I feel like they were just trying to get the story done. And so it just, you know, but there was like the redeeming qualities. I mean, she got to do her physical at the very end, and I just love that. So, I mean, it wasn't an awful movie. I obviously just sat through it again, and I will probably watch it again, but it won't be like my top, like, this was an amazing, amazing Lucille Ball movie.
And how did you feel about it, Carrie? Like, was it also kind of like a Lucy episode for you? A long, long trailer, sort of like very similar to Long, Long Trailer. Just,
it's like they were trying to do Long, Long Trailer again. Mm-hmm. I will say it's not one of my favorites. So again, don't hate us for saying this, but yeah, not one of my favorites, but having recently watched it again, I loved the outfits.
Oh my God. I have a lot on that dress.
It's fabulous.
Because
the scenery and things like that, the sets.
Do you know what I did after watching this a couple of days ago? And I put dinner on the table. I apologized to my husband for not being dressed up like Lucy was, or Susan was, at the table when she's with her cousin.
Is fabulously dressed.
Oh my gosh.
With that neckline.
You turn around and you're like, oh wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Take away the whole show
there.
It's
great. But what's interesting.
I need to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just need to say, like, to back up Carrie and I, at least, and I don't know if Erica feels the same way. But Lucy herself said, I've been in a lot of stinkers, but this was one of the stinkiest.
She
said that. That's a direct quote from her. So,
well, I know James Mason said similar, which is unfortunate because you've got all the good pieces. It just didn't really land.
Well, it's kind of like our review of Being the Ricardos. You have all these top-notch actors who have potential beyond, and you give them a very sort of script, and you want them all to. So it's not, you know, a recipe for a movie is not always the actors that you're putting in there. It's the writing. You can kill it or make it fantastic. And in this case,
it has to all fit together.
It was what's interesting. It was Alexander Hall was the director of this movie, who, by the way, she was dating when she met Desi Arnaz. Okay. And Arnaz,
apparently it was fine though. So
that's the one that in the movie, is that the one she calls and says it's over when she meets Desi, I think. Yeah, okay, that's Alexander Hall. So so Desi felt that the script was really weak. And so they brought in the I Love Lucy writers to do slapstick camp scene. So
ending,
that's why they're so reminiscent of an I Love Lucy episode.
Part.
because they brought in.
I was going to say that ending definitely felt like that.
Yeah. And with a dunt. Yeah. I was like, with boom, straight out of Lucy.
Exactly. Because they brought in those three, because it was right in the middle of I Love Lucy. So they had the writers right there. So that's,
The script had been passed up by two sets of.
Yes.
Star, you know, so there was what, William Powell and
Myrna Loy.
Myrna Loy.
Loy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You said it. And then
Catherine and Tracy, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, I mean, these are big people and neither of them thought that it was a good enough script for them. And so it'd been around for quite a few years before Desi and Lucy decided to pick it up. So,
and it was supposed to be called Guardian Angel was the original name of the film. And the angel was supposed to be played by Cary Grant, but his salary was too high. So they're like,
I could totally see that. I get such Dudley Bishop's wife vibes. Yes. I mean,
and so it went to James. And so, yeah, I think it had good potential, but it just kind of felt, felt a little.
Agreed.
And so,
but in the meantime, they are fabulously dressed in that set and scenery. I was like, I'm here for this time around watching it again.
Yeah. Even just the start where they, you know, they open her wedding dress.
Oh, that was beautiful.
That
I wrote that down. I wrote gorgeous wedding dress just with the headpiece.
Yeah. Just like outshine everyone again in that scene. Just.
Yeah,
Desi looks so handsome too. They both he did,
but Lucy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean,
he was in a suit. She was in a gorgeous gown.
And both of those movies, Long Long Trailer and this one, What Forever Darling, both have that sort of wedding, you know, encompassing a wedding. It's all newlyweds,
wedding and marriage. I mean, and camping. Long Long Trailer was earlier,
right?
Yeah,
All the good things for a Recipe Lucy movie, just
except as I was watching this, you know, I was like this, because this at this time, you know, what they're at about season 6 of I Love Lucy,
I think four.
Four, okay, things are still not on the best terms in their real life marriage.
Oh yes, mm-hmm.
And
I was thinking about that, you know, as I was watching, like, is this, you know, trying to keep them together?
And you're just like, yeah. Even my husband was like, so how much of this fighting is like fine for them? You know, like mm-hmm. not fine, but just normal,
comfortable.
They didn't have to act so much. Yeah.
And the premise of both of those films is trying to keep the husband and the wife together because the husband travels as the, what is he, a scientist, a chemist? And in the other one, he was an engineer and also mm-hmm. leaving her for long periods of time. And in real life, that's what I Love Lucy was for, was mm-hmm. to keep them
together. Keep the family together.
Right. Yeah. And it just, a lot of inspiration, I think, was taken from there. Now, of course, we see a lot of familiar faces in this movie. If you've watched I Love Lucy, you know, first of all, we see Mrs. Howell from Gilligan's Island.
Lovey.
So that's what I said. I mean, the first day I said, oh my God, it's Mrs. Howell again, you know, and I was again in the kitchen and my husband walks by because he saw the movie with me. He's like, I could just die because he saw that.
I could just die. I'm going to start throwing that into everyday conversation just because.
Right. Yes. If you go to a restaurant and they're out of your dramatic. If they're out of your favorite meal, I could just die. But just never do. You just so rude.
You always say that.
So they so we should just get in it. So that's kind of the opening.
We're just jumping all over the place.
The opening scene is that, you know, the wedding, the beautiful wedding. And have you ever met a more removed father than Susan has?
Just over there always having a cocktail, hanging out.
Yeah,
throwing in just, kind of shady advice.
Just walking around with the cocktail.
Yeah. I kind of like his style though. I was like, well,
I mean, I mean, before we we're just gonna jump right back into it.
Yeah.
Lewis Calhern.
The actor
who played Lewis Calhern is Lucille Ball's or Susan's father in the movie.
Okay. Okay, gotcha.
He is the one who has the cocktail, and he passed away just a few months after
the film. Filming of it.
Oh, that's right. Okay. He did.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So that was the father. That's who I was thinking. I was like, Lewis Calhern. Yeah. So anyways, that's the guy who makes the heel joke. and says they got their money from corruption, and
and he's like, he just spoke down about the father. He was the father, because she, you know, I think it was a reporter that was keeping writing an article on this, because they all come for money. Well, she did.
Well,
and so she says speaking bad about the father, and it's actually him. He has a very dry sense of humor. The father does. And so, you know, the wedding, and then they skip over to 2 months into marriage, where
everything, I love this montage.
I do too. I do too.
It's cute.
She meets him at, or greets him at the door to say goodbye, you know, as he's going off to work, and they kiss.
Gets like a flower, you know.
It's the honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the honeymoon phase.
Oh, and then you get that wah wah wah. The next couple months are long.
My husband went to work. I slept in. I don't know.
You didn't greet him at the door, and you didn't wear a beautiful gown as he's sleep. Siva,
come on now. Get that tulle wedding gown out.
Headpiece. And so, of course, it's five years later. It's, or 2 years. Just a little peck. He turns around, grabs the rose himself. 5 years
five
later,
years, she's not even there.
She's not even at the door.
No, I like her snoring.
So and again, this was, I wrote that it reminded me of the Long Long Trailer, or the beginning of it, which is the honeymoon phase, not enough time together. And then, you know, he's this chemist, which just to me stands out every time Desi Arnaz is in a film. They try to very much elevate what his job is. And I think that was done with purpose. So in that time era, he just doesn't look, you know, like the Cuban that Lucille Ball married. It just, but
right. Well, like, she elevated. Had to have a real reason to marry someone that wasn't a purebred. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When I love it that, you know, like in Lucy, when it was like, they'll never.
I know what you meant. You meant white.
I meant white, but you know.
Yeah.
When they're like, they'll never buy like Desi as a band leader. Like nobody will buy that. So I love that they kept elevating that. Like, oh, well now I'm an engineer. Well, now I'm a scientist. Take that.
Right. Holly. Right. Right. She's just a stay at home wife. And in the I Love Lucy, he's the I and I Love Lucy, but he's also the star. She wants to be like him. So it's, he made sure they elevated him. And I stood out to me. So he's at the lab. Don't ask me what he does. I have no idea.
He's making, from what I can tell, he's the inventor, or like he's been Bugs working Bray? On 383.
Okay.
Getting right? rid of that. So, what did she say? Can of fleet?
Yes. He's
incestus. I can't even say it.
Bugs. Bugs.
Bugs. Killing bugs. Of the bugs. Mm-hmm. He gets a call, and then, I don't know. I mean, that scene was just kind of like, I think just to show us where he worked.
The lab.
And really show that, one, he stays late a lot.
Oh, yes.
That she knows to call him, right? And then
show
also,
that riff, and then start pulling at that riff.
Right, right, right. Mm-hmm. And then also to show how much he dislikes
Millie and Henry Updike.
Millie and Henry Updike.
Yeah. Oh, I could just die.
I could just die. I
just die. God. Yeah. So then we get home, and he's really happy, which we know now is because he's going to be able to go on in the field
for 2 years.
For 2 years. Yes. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But no
fighting them insects. Woo.
Millions of roaches. So he comes home to this home that's just beautiful.
Oh my God.
And they're discussing.
Like the dream home?
Like, it's just.
Maybe
it's
not
just
the decorations. I didn't love all the decorations.
Well, it's very 50s. Yeah, it's very 50s. I knew. And so, you know, they, she's already having dinner, again, dressed to the nines with Millie and Henry, Millie being her cousin and Henry being her husband. And they are, you know, throwing around the idea of buying a new house, which you can also have separate bedrooms for. She's kind of like, what? You know, that's unheard of for me. Because, of course, that's how they live.
This is how it should be.
Right. She has her own quarters.
She's like so full of it. She makes me so mad in that scene. Probably I'm like, just shut it, lady.
Yeah, she's trying to break that marriage apart.
Yes. They have enough trouble. Leave them alone.
That long.
Yeah.
You know, at the beginning, she had that little scene where she's like, how long do you think they'll last? But
oh, that's right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I love when Susan is talking about how when she gets cold, she's like, my feet get cold.
And that's so cute.
He shushes her.
Is like, no, that's ours. That's ours. Yeah.
So where does she put that foot? I just want to know. Where does she
Jeff last night, and I was like, oh,
feet, and like, that's all right. Like, if you put your feet or like on the back, I don't know, but like, I don't know if you have to shush someone for that. I'm not,
I could think of a couple places, but I want to keep this a family show.
I don't think you could say that in the
50s. No, and so yeah,
she brings the milk into bed.
this is a callback to one of our older. Okay,
when he's talking and he pours the, do you think that's cream de menthe? Now I'm talking about the little green.
When he's passing them around to everybody else. I don't know what he's pouring.
Have you ever had that? Because that's like the only thing I could think that probably like it's supposed to be like an after dinner drink.
Mm-hmm. Right. In my just, mind, like, I was like, it's
absinthe. Before you have dessert.
Absinthe. Like a dessert drink.
It's like a real happening party.
Like something to like.
No wonder I got feisty really fast.
Real quick.
Yeah, really fast.
So I mean, he's not holding back at all.
Yeah, because she's like, I can't tell if you're joking. I never said I was. I'm not joking. And you know, he really, you know, that way we can be away from, or can you make them go away sooner so we can talk about this new, you know, trip that we're taking? And so he just wants to get rid of them because he can't stand these relatives of hers.
And as he said, he wants to just be able to say what he's been holding on to for all these years, you know.
And of course, I love his defense of the maid, you know, because it's.
I love that maid. I mean, she's just in that one scene, but like.
That's what she put her facial Nancy Culp. Nancy Culp. Okay. She was also from the Beverly Hillbillies, and she was also on I Love Lucy.
And Parent Trap.
And Parent Trap.
I always think of her as she's just like in the camping scene at the beginning, but as soon as she walked through the door, I was like, ah,
that's her. Yeah, she was on Lucy Meets the Queen. She teaches them how to curtsy.
Curtsy.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, of course, that's where they're explaining that there's this house, it's for sale, you know, you should get it. And is it Larry?
They already have a big enough house. Like,
yeah. I was like,
just the two of them.
You need a bigger one than this fabulous place that you're on.
Well, they need a bigger one so that they can be more separate. That's what, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of what, and you know, with the second bedrooms, like, so that you can have your own space and just be, and it would, if they bought it, I mean, it would help you grow apart. You know, you'd just be them
living. Oh, absolutely. Yes. And
with that person without,
it sounds like she, and I just mean Millie, wants everyone to be as miserable perhaps as she feels. Because she probably has her own room, just her and her husband. So,
and it's easier to tell somebody else what's wrong than diagnose yourself.
Right. And so of course, Larry's not liking any of what he's hearing. And so it's starting to progress the anger at the dinner table because, you know, you're suggesting certain things. And then he brings up the idea that he's going to take this 2-year trip, you know, as for his job. And that sort of stirs up another conversation there where, what are you going to do with this house?
He could have waited to bring that up, you know?
Yeah.
She should have given him the same look back like,
Right. Yeah, that was a little uncomfortable when you bring up something so big in front of other people.
Yeah, I mean, Lucy didn't even say she was going to go. He's just said, I'm going to take her for 2 years.
Well, she thought it was like a quick trip, maybe like a weekend trip, the way she said, what should I wear? What kind of clothes should I bring? And it's like,
yeah, and then when he said 2 years, she was like,
And so she's, you know, kind of not liking where this is going. And that's when Millie starts to sort of speak her opinion on the whole thing. And she says, you know, I don't think you should take her. And the whole fighting begins. But the insults with everybody was interesting to me because it just felt very uncomfortable to watch. Like you're peeking into someone's actual living room.
Like too much realness, move along.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, and also, but it was, I feel like for me, it was just broken up by the maid, Amy?
Mm-hmm. Amy. Mm-hmm.
Just like walking around with the dessert.
Yeah.
Like trying to get someone to notice her because she makes her way around the table and like tries to, and so like in between all of this fighting, she's trying to just serve the dessert. And then when Lucy stops it and rings the bell, she's like, where have you been?
I've been waiting right here.
I've been here this whole time.
I feel like that was a little bit of them trying to connect it with some comedy, you know, like,
I think we talked about it, like break it up a little bit.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, let's plug a little bit of comedy and see if it gets this through. And it's like, it doesn't quite get there.
Yeah. No. It feels a little uncomfortable. Yeah. This one's very uncomfortable. After, you know, the fighting, she's like, all right, everyone stop. And it stops everyone in their tracks, you know. And so, of course, now everyone's really upset. I assume they leave. And the next scene is them in the bedroom. And she's mm-hmm. very upset. Susan is very upset about this fighting with her family. And he starts playing with the accordion, Forever Darling. So you can kind of pick up on that song there. And she's just aggressively brushing her curls.
Brushing her hair. That's how you know someone's mad. Mm-hmm. But like before he starts playing, there's an amount of time, and I didn't count the seconds because I'm not that extra yet. But like someday I might. But it was quiet. Yeah. They weren't talking. There was no tension. Music. There was nothing. You know, and you don't see that very much in movies where it's just absolutely there's nothing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of like off-putting to me. Like, oh, wow.
I mean, that awkwardness.
And you get that. And you get that, though, sometimes, you know, when you're mad at your partner and you're just both not saying anything and like fuming, mm-hmm. you know, and you see that moment where he like tries to touch her hair and she like jerks her head away.
And it was very, it was severe.
It felt very real.
Oh, it was aggressive. It was like, yeah.
It's like Lucille Ball was actually feeling angry at that time. And I'm, you know, when you hear a lot of these stories and autobiographies and things like that, a lot of the crew went through the same awkwardness on I Love Lucy mm-hmm. with them too, because, you know, go tell Mrs. Ball or, you know, go tell Mr. Arnaz.
Relay my message to her. I'm not talking to her.
Right. And so, and then of course, when they say, you know, when they start acting, then it goes away and then afterwards, but, you know, everyone would feel uncomfortable during fights and things like that. So they're upset in the bedroom. They have a fight about what just happened at dinner. And he goes up to the family room?
The study.
Study.
Yep.
I don't have a study.
Oh, how fancy. You have a study in this house.
And you want to.
When he said that, I was like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I don't have a study. But okay. Yeah.
There were two things I noticed before we moved past that, like before that weren't even about the arguing. Okay. These are just two background things. One, I feel like they brought back that fight of the window.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, I love Lucy
opening.
One.
So he opened the door, she closed it, and then he opened it again.
Okay.
And so there was that back and forth that, you know, they don't bring a lot of attention. They're just doing it in the middle of the fight. And then also that thing in the corner, is that a liquor cabinet? Is that just all
decanters? Oh, like that curio cabinet? I love that. The little white with the glass.
Yeah, except there's a large amount of alcohol in their bedroom. And I was like, wow.
It looks like a liquor cabinet, but I think it's like for little curios.
Oh, I've totally passed that. Okay. Okay.
Go back, you see it a handful of times. Well, maybe. Well, it was the 50s, and her dad is drinking all the time.
That's
so maybe
true.
Yeah, he like doesn't require.
They're just like, I might need this in the middle of the night.
I was like, well, there goes that like hope of, because you know, in the when they were shooting I Love Lucy, they had at the beginning they had like a tray with. Like a serving tray with alcohol and things like that.
Oh, yes.
They decided not to have that because they didn't want to portray the Ricardos as alcoholics. And I was like, well, they just took a severe turn into the opposite side. It's super alcoholic here.
But Lorenzo and Susie don't care.
Yeah, they don't care. And so after you know, their individual fight after that, then he goes off to his study to sleep. And you can come back when you're ready to beg me to come back.
Beg me to come back.
Yeah. And so she's, you know, she goes back to her, or she stays there. And this is where we have the sudden appearing of the angel. Weird. Yeah.
James Mason.
And so he, you know, it's sort of like a, I don't know, the glow. Is it very like, you know,
shimmery? Yeah.
Shimmery.
I thought that was pretty good thing. Tech for back then.
Yeah.
I mean, that was not too shabby.
I was like, oh, look, Star Trek.
It was very Star Trek-y, yes. And so he, you know, she's looking like, it kind of reminded me of Grease, you know, where you have, is it Frankie in Valley? Who is it that appears for this thing's Beautiful
yes.
Dropout.
Beautiful Dropout, yes.
So it kind of reminded
Frankie
me of
Avalon.
Avalon, yeah. And so it kind of reminded me of that. But in this case, it's a British actor, James Mason. And she freaks out because, you know, he doesn't say much. He just stares at her, which
kind of creepy.
He doesn't say anything. He just walks in to the room.
He's just being all James Mason-y.
Yes. And he's just,
wait, I'm so sorry. Before we go past this, I wanted to say one other thing. I like wrote it down, but was it weird for either one of you to see Lucille Ball cry in a more realistic manner? And maybe this is because I haven't seen other movies with her, so I don't know if other characters of hers like cry, but seeing like Susan cry in a more, you know, because all of the crying in like Lucille Ball is just
exaggerated,
and I love Lucy. It's exaggerated, right. Mm-hmm. And in this one it was more like that, you can see she's just hurting.
This felt, you know, more like her old school dramatic movies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think is why it was so disjointed, because at this point in time we were so used to seeing her as Lucille Ball. Lucille Ricardo, mm-hmm. like so funny and slapstick that it was like, oh, wait,
it just a little jarring to see. Step back. Yeah, exactly. Okay, sorry, we're back.
Although
to the
I'm not sure
through the door.
I'm not sure if it was a great or bad idea, but given how you started the episode, as Ziva saying that Lucille Ball wasn't so much of a fan of this movie, is I wish they would have not brought in the I Love Lucy writers and just made it a dramatic.
Just,
you know,
take a different turn with it.
Make it drama.
Yeah,
make it
either
out of
just
comfort
drama.
Zone.
Yeah, exactly.
Or start from the beginning. And make it funny. But yeah, the jolt that it took, and oh, it is an I Love Lucy skit. Oh no, wait, hold on. They're really mad, and they're, you know. So the whole thing was kind of. I don't think that was a good move to bring in the I Love Lucy writers. It kind of.
It almost did feel like two different sections, right? Like we were talking about. Like it almost felt like, okay, this is the super drama part of it, and then as soon as they get into the camping, that's the slapstick I Love Lucy type feel that we're used to. And so it just felt like, all right, intermission. Now it's a completely different movie. Yeah. Same and premise, different writers, different, you know.
As avid I Love Lucy watchers, you pick up on a lot of script writing that is extracted from I Love Lucy episodes. We'll get into that later. That's all in the camping scene. But
we're
so the angel appears. staring into her room, she's freaking out. And she's kind
walking
of like
into her room.
That's exactly what it was. It's very uncomfortable. So she's, you know, freaking out, thinking, is she really seeing this? Of course she is, and she runs over to the study where Larry is.
I do love how she jumps onto the couch.
Yeah,
she
said the same.
Yeah, that was funny.
I also really want that comforter. That looks delightful.
Oh my gosh. I thought that too. It's like, oh, that looks so comfy. Comforter.
And
that's why it's called comforter. Yeah, silk.
And it's so frustrating because of course she came in to beg him for forgiveness. It couldn't be because she's actually scared of something.
Scared.
And it's like
she's trying to say like, no,
I'm
mean,
scared.
I want to make up
something.
But like there's something else. Yeah. And he's just not listening.
Yeah, I'm scared too. I'm sorry. Like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm still mad at you, but something freaking me out over here. So they talk about, you know, does she mention that she saw a man to
he
him?
She mentions that she saw something, right?
Yeah. So she didn't say it was
like
a figure yet.
She said like a ghost, and he just kind of went, okay,
They're there.
They don't make anything up. Yeah, yeah. They're there.
It's they're okay. there. Yeah. You woman, you.
Yeah.
That we'll get to later in this in the doctor's appointment. It's so dismissive.
Oh.
We'll get there. And so, you know, they make up for, you know, lack of a better word, because she's much more concentrated as to what just happened than the fight that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next morning she decides to go see a psychiatrist, I assume, to see what she can do about these thoughts that she's having, or these visions that she's having, or these visits that she was dreaming about, because she still doesn't know that it's a guardian angel. And everyone keeps saying, with wings?
Did I know.
Wings? I'm like this. Yeah, like,
I could not. Okay, so I could not get past his voice, because I was like, it's Harold the Tramp.
It's Harold the Tramp. And it's also, oh my God, who does he also play? He plays two people. Oh gosh, I have to find it. He plays two people in I Love Lucy. He plays Harold the Tramp and somebody else.
It's that voice.
James Emery. John Emery, sorry, John Emery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. The tenant. When little Ricky gets a dog and there's a grumpy tenant that wants him out of there, that's him. That's John Emery. Yes.
I do appreciate how they kept using like their folks.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just repeat.
That voice is so distinctive.
Mm-hmm.
What do they call therapists back then?
Analyst?
Okay. Analyst. Yes. Because I was like, I know Don Knotts does this whole comedy routine about his, like, an analyst. And so that's it. Because
I was not aware.
Not being therapist, it was a different word completely.
Interesting.
But yes, so there's this whole conversation with this therapist that it's all in her head.
It's very there, there. You're being a woman. Yeah. You're probably hormonal. You
aspirin.
Need a nap. You know,
yeah, you need a nap.
Or go visit that booze like closet you've got.
Take a drink. Have a stiff one.
Have you been nipping at the cooking sherry?
You're right. Oh,
okay. Yeah, so it's a very dismissive appointment she has. She's explaining now. She's trying to say, because the way a woman thinks of a man in those days was very suggestive. You can't just think of a man who's not your husband. And so she's trying to say, I thought of a man. I dreamt of a man, a very handsome, attractive man, you know, and I know what I would think of another woman if she was thinking of another man, you know. It's kind of,
I was like, how can you say help? That? She was like, no, I don't dream of him while I was married to my husband. I was like, how do you stop yourself from dreaming of someone,
right?
Even after you're married.
Yeah. Like, have you dreamt of Zima?
I'm not. Uh-oh. These are secrets.
This podcast just took a turn.
Listen, I tell my husband it's all right.
Having a ball after dark. No.
Oh, way.
Yeah. Okay. So no, she's trying to explain that it's a man she saw come in, a handsome man, and she stops herself from saying that it's the actor says, or their, you know, the name of the man. And so he's, you know, he's ready to pounce on her bad thoughts, you know, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. You can see it. Like he leans forward, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's super excited. And no.
Dr. Winter, I think is his name. Yeah. And so she, you know, shoos her away, go take some aspirin. You'll be okay.
Yeah.
You're being hysterical. Yeah.
Basically.
Mm-hmm. And so she, you know, she goes home unsatisfied of what just happened. And is this where she goes and speaks to her father, I believe?
Yes. Is this where he's coming there and downing another drink and just
room with a drink on?
Yeah. Right?
With the drink in his hand. I do have to say, okay, this line bothered me. There were some things where I'm going to step up on a little. There's a few moments later on, even.
This whole movie. Like,
well, yeah. Yes. There are certain parts that are even more so that I was like, okay, I have to bring that up. But when she was like, does insanity run in our family? And he went, well, you had an aunt that was a suffragette.
Oh, I didn't miss
that.
So
she's insane because she's standing up for women's rights.
Women's rights. Like, he did. I have that suffragette.
It bothered me.
Why would you say that? Yeah.
And she just was like, oh, okay.
Oh, makes man, sense. Now I'm curious if this was a Katharine Hepburn film. Can you imagine that would have been like, get that out of here.
That's very, interesting. She did ask the father, you know, with his mental, well, not back then, but essentially asking about the mental health of both sides of her family.
Right.
You know, is anybody crazy? Is anybody, does anybody see people? You know, did anybody, with me? And so he explained again, it's like he's half listening and the other half he's staring at that drink. And he can't, you know, she's pleading for some sort of assistance here because she sees, you know, this man, and he's like, okay, well, let me know how that goes. Let me know how that turns out, you know?
Yeah. And just checks out and is like, okay, bye.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, he does tell her that like one part of the family always is super lucky and has guardian angels, and one part of her family sees things, right? And so you're supposed to come to the conclusion that because she's, you know, from both of those families, that lineage, that because one side sees things, she can see her lucky guardian angel. And that's how she finds out that he is her guardian angel. And I was like, how is he so okay? Because she says, you know, I can see him. And then I was like, ah, maybe it's just because he's drunk. You know, like maybe that's why he's just so chill. You know, he's like, oh, where is he? You know, yeah. I mean,
he's right over there.
Someone said I can see things. I'd be a little bit.
Maybe he can see things and he's never felt comfortable in sharing that information. Yeah.
It was so dismissive.
Maybe that's why he drinks.
Yeah, perhaps. Right.
So perhaps both of them gnomes too. Dismissed. So the doctor dismissed her.
Well, everyone's going to dismiss her. Her husband dismisses her because she's a woman. So
that's it.
I know, sad.
That's the basis of it. We're all smiling, but it's not. Inside, we're dying a little bit. Yeah, it's because she's a woman. So, and we see again, I mean, we see that happen. So she had no luck with the therapist, had no luck with her father. And then you see the next scene is where they're out in the patio, which first of all, amazing backyard. Could I please have that? Thank you.
It's where she has so many floral benches. She has that floral dress.
Because she's worn that. Before,
and the Franciscan ivy cups on the table.
Yes.
Ziva is just dying to get her hands on those.
Yes. But like that outfit she's worn on I Love Lucy. And I went, I never knew it was that color.
Yes. I looked up some information on it because, you know, there's various forms in which she had it on as a dress once or a couple of times in I Love Lucy. And then there's ones where she uses it as a smart dinner dress with the pants underneath. You know, I was wondering what to wear at all the smart dinner parties I throw.
I loved those pants that she gave Ethel. Just, I'm going to go on the record and say
smart dinner pants, right? You know, she found them on Harper's Bazaar. Well, they certainly are fabulous. And so, so this dress was, you know, by her longtime stylist, I think it's Eloise Jensen is who created this. And she wore it at least six times in I Love Lucy. And just over and over, you know, rewear this wardrobe, fabulous wardrobe that she had.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Well, I have to say, I really appreciated how they re-wore clothes.
Yeah.
Because
a lot of money saving.
In a lot of TV shows, you don't see people wear the same thing twice.
Right.
And you're like, how is that realistic? Because I have a set amount of clothes. Like, everyone has a bunch of clothes, right? I have a crazy amount of clothes. And yet I have the clothes that I wear pretty much on a rotation. Or like, you know, there's some that I really like that I wear, you know, as much as I can. But like, not normal people don't have the budget to buy, you know, so that you have a different outfit every day.
Yeah. I always thought it was like a nice element of realism to be like, oh, she's wearing that dress. Of course she still has that dress. Yeah, like, you know,
right. Exactly.
Lucy Ricardo wouldn't throw that dress out.
Right.
Now, I know that you have, you're not going to get rid of it.
Carrie, I know you have a lot of dresses that are inspired or almost like, you know, do you have this dress or this?
I have a version couple of Eloise Jensen pieces.
Okay.
I've got a couple of gowns. I've got a hostess gown and a robe that are all specifically by her. I don't have one that looks like this. It is on my either to find or to create list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do have several like hostess gowns that I do wear with the pants underneath. I love
You
know,
it's funny you mentioned about creating, because as I was looking for information on this dress, it suggested this YouTube video that said, literally said, make your own Eloise Jensen dress. And it was this dress. And I thought, who's going to make that? I think you're going to make that.
Get out the sewing machine.
We're making a dress. And so, yeah, so we got distracted with that beautiful dress. But yes, the color really yes, pops so back here.
Yes.
Oh, I sure choose the lilac. Oh,
patio. We're holding on.
Yes, because we're pointing out the color to promote this film, because it was in the middle of I Love Lucy, which of course is black and white, they went on this show. It's an MGM show, some sort of MGM show to promote this. Desi had to actually tell the audience that you might get a little jolted as to the colors you're going to see, because this film is in color and you're so used to seeing us in black and white. I just thought it was an interesting thing to, you know, kind of like prepare the audience for color, you know, because it was so used to seeing them in black and white. Okay, they're in the patio.
And I want to be in that patio.
I know really about that patio.
Now she looks mad. The entire time.
Oh, she's already mad, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I think part of it is because no one's taking her seriously. She's
distressed.
And she's annoyed at her guardian angel, because at this point she thinks that he's just getting in the way of things. Have they had their talk where he explains? Yeah, we totally skipped that, didn't we?
Which?
Yeah, after the dad leaves, they have a talk where finally is able to explain, like, I'm your guardian angel, I look like
who you want me to look like,
who you want me to look like. Yes. And yeah, because he says Ava Gardner, and that's why she's so mad when
that's here, that's in the patio scene after the father leaves and after Larry leaves. That's when they have this conversation. But doesn't he bring up also that he had this dream to the father of Ava Gardner?
And he's like, well done, boy.
That's right.
Before the patio scene,
after
the father leaves,
right,
they have the guardian angel and Lucy have a conversation in the bedroom.
About, I look,
why met, do you look like James Mason?
Yeah.
I look like then, who you want me to
and
look
so then,
like.
Right. And then we move to the patio.
So if you were Millie's angel, you would look like, I think she said, did she say Cary Grant?
I think so.
Yeah.
I know Cary Grant gets mentioned, and so does Gregory Peck, which I was like, Peck. All of those guys.
Oh, it's Gregory Peck. Yeah. That's right. It's Gregory Peck. Right. Yes. And if I was Larry's angel, I would look like Ava Gardner. She was very upset about that.
Yeah. And so that's why. So she's lots of upsetness. That's how she's annoyed. She's annoyed with her guardian angel. She's annoyed with everything. Right. And the father comes again. Did they invite him? Like,
he just kind of showed up. He was going to check up. Oh, that's right. He left and he was like, well, I'll see you tomorrow to see how it's going.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye. He walks back in with another drink.
He's always
tapering on.
Mm-hmm. He's tapering back on. Yeah. He tapered off and now he's going to enjoy tapering back on.
Yeah. He was celebrating the tapering off by tapering back on. Yeah.
That is so.
So this is when he says, I think you should tell your husband that you're seeing this angel. And this is one of the more frustrating things to watch, because everyone is just being so mean to this woman, to Susan, and they start laughing at her at and not just laughing, but Desi Arnaz laughing, like the boisterous loud,
you know? I can't even do it. Yeah. I've tried.
And so, you know, she's even more distraught after this. And you know, he throws in a little Spanish in there, which is a nod to the Lucy writers, because all of this stuff just feels again like Lucy lines. I Love Lucy lines. And so, yeah, it's distressing to watch them both kind of laugh at her, make fun of her about seeing an angel like that with wings.
So then the dad leaves again. He's like, well, let me know if I can ever do anything else for you. I was like, you made it worse.
He did nothing.
You did absolutely nothing. But so the next, so after that, basically, yeah, Ricky's like, okay, you know, just rest. Well, you know, like whatever, again, poo-pooing it. And then you see him, I think he's going through some bills. She's doing something in a book, looking through books.
I do like that bit of comedy they throw in with him, like, what is she doing? Like, I can just imagine if I was doing that and Jeff was like, what is going on?
Yeah, okay. And she, this is where he suggests to watch a movie, to go out and watch a movie and dinner. Mm-hmm. And
movie.
This movie, I mean.
Okay, first of all, I have to.
Yeah, it's very meta. It's a cheesy movie within a cheesy movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we get to the movie, I was like, she says she's going to have to go change. And so she changes into something else. And I told my husband, it's the era where you dressed up to go see a movie.
Yes.
Now you dress down to see a movie.
Like, oh, and everybody in the theater looks so fabulous. Yes. I love it.
Uh-huh. But they look uncomfortable. If I'm watching a movie, I want to be comfortable. Like,
see me snacking on that popcorn and drinking.
And so, the opposite. I'm like, we're going out. I'm dressing up.
Uh-huh. Oh, well.
Yeah. See, so they're at the movie. He's falling asleep, right?
She, I love that.
She is. Head, body, feet deep into this movie. You know, he's the actor is being very aggressive with the actress in this film.
Yeah,
saying, you know, mm-hmm. you are my woman, and she's like, no, I'm not. And so she's kind of acting it out, feeling the emotions in her chair as she's watching this, seeing herself in it, until she actually sees herself in it. Mm-hmm. You know, because it took me a minute really to realize it was Lucille Ball in a blonde wig. It took me a minute to, I didn't really follow, but you know, it's her daydreaming, I guess, about.
And then we get all those great facial expressions that are now turned into fantastic memes. I love that. Yeah. Every time I use that meme, I'm like, ah, well, at least that came out of this movie. Like, these are great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And yeah, she's watching herself in this. It's really, yeah.
Yeah. My he husband was watching thing. This. Yeah, and he's like, he's giving off real strong,
aggressive,
creepy, aggressive. Like, it just wasn't, it did not sit right with me. And even the fact that, like, by the end of it, she slapped him, he slapped her, like, hard, and then, oh, yay, I'm your woman. My husband was like, yeah, he just needed to beat her into
real, and I was like, realizing.
I mean, yes, but that's not good. It was just weird. I was like, why did they choose this?
And now after,
and why
this,
is Lucy drawn to it, or why is Susan drawn to that?
After it's like that those covers scene. Of those romance novels where it's just like the torn sleeve, you know, and it's like, okay, come on,
yeah, no shirt on, and just
hair blowing in the wind. Yes.
And so the next scene is something I had, you know, it's I'm sure people
another
watching
scene?
Was kind of cringy. If you were seeing Lucy Ricardo, is her being very sexy. Very, mm-hmm. You know, flirtatious. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I know I was really uncomfortable. Like, I shouldn't.
Yeah. So what we're referring to is you have the angel waiting at the top of the stairs for her to come back from this. She's in a drunken stage, and when drunken off of the movie, not off of a drink, she's just in this trance,
a stupor.
Yeah, whoa. She is really. She's in a trance. She's trying to figure out. You know, or she's trying to flirt with this angel, and it's like, very
that's what bothered me.
It's very like, come oh, hither.
Don't do that.
And he's kind of like, uh-oh, what's happening here? And she wouldn't stop.
It's the movie, not
yes.
me.
Yeah, she would not stop. And so she, you know, kind of walks towards him, towards the bedroom. He's walking backwards, like, what is this woman?
Very
yeah.
saucy,
yeah, yeah, very sultry look. And so he's like, I want to talk to you about love. Oh, yes, let's. It's, ma'am, your husband is downstairs. I assume
the door, right? She closes the door. Yeah,
I assume Larry's
both things aren't great. So,
yeah, and so of course, what he's trying to say is, I'm trying to tell you what to do to save your marriage because it's going downhill. So let's disaster. Stop this,
yeah.
And so
wrong signals.
Yeah, that's not what I'm trying to do here. And so she explains that they're both on different paths, and you know, you should probably join your husband on this trip mm-hmm. you know, go along with it so you don't lose your marriage. And yeah,
I do appreciate what Susan said, because so this is kind of, and like, and definitely in her thought, I think goes back to what her father's advice at the marriage was that when you marry, you become one, and the one is the husband.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically you are your husband, and that should be
it,
you know, his likes, his hot, you know, his hobbies. That's who you are now, is that.
Mm-hmm.
And so she does mention that when he's saying, you know, try to get onto his path, that like, why does it have to be mm-hmm. that he's the one?
Why do I have to change?
Right. And I think if we're thinking about it, like marriage wise, you know, I think having a bit of your own is good in a set, you know, like
of course.
My husband and I definitely don't do the, I have a podcast. He doesn't like it. He likes it. He just doesn't care that much about it.
I think that's what he was trying to point out.
Felt the like angel. The guardian angel gave good advice. Yeah. And but it was just, again, that weird where it's like, oh, wow, this is, you're getting real. So we've mm-hmm. got, you know, and then we're going to have slapstick comedy again. So like, it's just, it feels like the back and forth, you
which
know,
is why like, when I read a lot of the reviews that were written on this film, it was very much that who wrote this and who thought this was a good idea. And perhaps that's why the others didn't take it. The other
backed out,
because it's just, it's much like you said, maybe Katharine Hepburn was looking at this like, what is, well, I'm not going to jump in the water.
And... There's no way I'm going to do this movie. I love Katharine Hepburn. Okay.
And that's our sound clip. That's how we're...
And now we have
this down. I don't want to do this movie.
We have a little sound clip from Beyond, Katharine Hepburn. What did you think about Forever, Darling?
Frankly, it's not my kind of film.
I love this.
Anyway,
I love this. Oh my god, she was my favorite character on The Aviator. Just the sexiness. Oh my god,
can't you eat ice cream out of a bowl like everyone else in the world? Oh, I loved her in that movie. We should talk about that movie. But anyway,
we really, really should. No, that's the next one. Yes, that's a bonus. So, okay,
yes, that will be when we finally start making bonus episodes of different things we wanted to do. Anyways.
So then Larry comes in. Larry comes in and says, you know, it just came about this sudden 2-day trip to, please tell me what he's doing, Ziva.
Yeah, what county
he's going to? I have no idea where he's going.
Yeah.
I can't remember the county. You want to know what he's doing? He's testing out his like formula.
Bug spray.
So he has to basically, before he can go on this trip, he has to basically prove to the investor that's going to want to know how well this works in other places, the person who's going to fund them,
okay,
that it's worth them funding, you know. And so they've got this perfect place that's got, I guess, the perfect conditions. It's going to be rainy, it's going to be, you know, buggy. Perfect conditions for them to do this. And so that's why they jump on it, and they're going to invite the investor down to see it in action so that he knows for sure, should I, you know, back this or not? And that'll then decide if they're going to go on this 2-year trip or not.
So this is the perfect opportunity for her to jump on it and say, I'll join you. And this is mm-hmm. what the angel was encouraging her to do, to kind of here's a little mini trip to kind of get you guys back together, back in that place, so you can prepare for this, you know, potential two-year trip.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry, but this, when we're talking about the I Love Lucy writers coming in, is this ending not a reminiscent of the episode where they go camping? Where she's going to be camping with them for a summer or something. Yeah. And mm-hmm. he's like, whoa, before we do that, let's go for a weekend.
Let's take a tester. Yeah.
The one where Ethel's in the trees.
Yeah. She's in the trees and she brings all the fish, you know.
Yes. Yeah. So, Not only did you clean the duck, but you skinned it. I love that.
It just lands.
It's completely clean.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You're right. It was just like that. It was just a little test camping trip. And so she suggests that she joins him, and you know, he's like, really, you really want to do that? Okay. So he's on board for that. And so she's excited. She looks at the angel like, yay. And he's like, woo, okay. He's like, we're going to make this marriage work. So the next morning,
some beautiful scenery too. Oh my gosh, I want to go to Yosemite.
Yosemite, yeah. Yes, is where they filmed
beautiful.
This.
Beautiful.
And she's
so Colin. I was like, we just need to go camping now. Like that's all I want to do.
It's like all the Lucy movies are camping related. And so we're they have a 6 a.m. early wake up call. She's not familiar with 6 a.m.
Me neither.
And so she's she's got her hair askew, her coat's all over the place. And so they're getting ready to drive. Now this scene here was very reminiscent of Long Long Trailer, where driving, they've got the stuff in the back and they start singing.
Talking, it's lovey-dovey, right?
Oh, very lovey-dovey, yeah. Now.
And so, right. Well, yeah, they're...
Camping brings out the best in everyone.
Right.
You get this feeling later. Like, oh, this could be really good, right? Like, this is... We're together. We're trying to make it work. I mean, I feel like if we're thinking in any relationship where things have gone bad, they've got like that last ditch effort, you know, at the beginning, yes. No matter how it ends up in the beginning, they're all like, I don't know if I want to say forcing, but they're like working on making that connection. And
well,
like,
Lucy and Desi did that. In fact, before they divorced, they did a Europe trip to kind of save their marriage. And we see that didn't work. So I think, yeah, there's a lot of,
there's a lot of realness tied up in this movie that I, seeing it again recently, I just kept playing that in my mind all the way through. And it's very interesting to watch when you think about everything that was really going on in their life versus what I think was really happening.
And they, they're singing again, Tenting Tonight. And so she is so in, she's infatuated with how smart he is. You should be president of the United States. It kind of reminded me of that I Love Lucy episode where she thinks he has all the right answers to the radio show, but really he memorized them from earlier on. She's just so enamored with his intelligence.
Getting goosebumps, you know?
Right. And so, yeah, he should be president. And they've got that raft behind them, you know, everything's
got
just cramped.
So much stuff. I know he's a scientist, but all I could think was like, he said this was a one or two day trip,
right?
And it's completely packed to the brim.
Well, you say that to me and when I bring that much clothes. So.
Yeah, that's true.
All they have is coffee and a loaf of bread. I was like, with all that stuff you brought, you couldn't have brought a decent camping meal. I get that camping meals aren't always
great. It was all
great,
the scientific anyways, but... equipment.
Here's your scoop. He had like 5 scoops. My God.
Yeah.
How many do you need?
He used one.
They're camping, of course. So here's where we start with the Isle of Lucy riders coming in.
Oh, yeah.
And she ties the tent.
They're putting up the tent.
To the truck. You know,
as soon as she does that, you go, oh no, something's gonna happen, right? Like, you know, as soon as she does that.
Yeah.
I love when he does drive away and he comes out and she says, why did he take down the tent?
That's pretty good.
Like, nothing.
Look what you did.
Yeah. You did this. Why'd you take it down?
And so she, I think after that, she catches a fish. They start fishing. Yes. She's the one who catches
sardines.
Slaps
yeah,
her right
she
on
uses
it.
A sardine to catch a huge.
Right. Oh my gosh.
I like her look of satisfaction too. She's like, did that?
I can do that. Yeah.
And then he starts to sing "Forever, Darling" in Spanish, which I thought was lovely. I hadn't heard it in Spanish before. And then she asks him to sing it in English, right?
That's nice. Now sing it in English.
Okay. Yeah. And that's it. And every I Love Lucy fan has heard this when they come home from Europe. This is the song they sing because they essentially promote it through their I Love Lucy episode because it was coming out during that time. So this song is familiar to all of us because it's first of all, it's a beautiful song. But secondly, they play it on, is it the ship on the SS Constitution? I think they sing it on I Love Lucy.
Sang it at Lucy's wedding, right?
Yes.
That's the song he sang.
Lucy, his daughter.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. He sings it over to exactly. But so he sings that.
But I was telling Colin, I was like, Now, this is a feat of acting, because if you listen to the words and you know how he's not true to her, and she's just over there looking like, oh, I believe every word of it. This is so cute. And inside she's like,
must have been going through something. We'll beep that out of the way.
It's a family-friendly show. How
it's a family-friendly show. I'll beep it. And so this one, I had written down who wrote the song. Here we go. So the lyrics were by Sammy Kahn and music by Bronislaw Kaper is who wrote this song. It was also sung by others in the opening scene, and then him, of course, later on.
Yeah, I think it was like some brothers or something.
Bands, yeah, a band of brothers.
Oh, but yeah.
And so
multiple people.
after that, then of course, this reminded me of something you would do, Carrie. I think she had like this beautiful nightgown on ready.
Oh yes, yes. For camping. Yeah. Like, what's wrong with this? Right. Isn't this what I was supposed to pack?
Oh, yeah. She's got this flowing nightgown for camping. And
I have almost the same one in beige.
Yeah.
We would have totally packed that.
And so he's like, what are you doing? You know, no, you sleep in your clothes. You sleep in your clothes. Yeah. So when we get up, we have our clothes.
That's wrong. You sleep in something warmer than what you're wearing.
Than what she's wearing right now. And so he tries to zip her into the sleeping bag, which of course gets caught. And the shirt.
Okay, he gets it caught, and I do want to mention that he gets it caught, and then later is like, how could you do such a stupid thing?
Well,
you just did it the night before.
But she's a woman. We've established what the theme of the film is. Now, this part kind of frustrated me. I was sort of on Larry's side here with the owl. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Like, yeah. She would not let it go. First of all, she wanted the light on, you know, because it was very dark, and maybe a little nightlight would have been fine, but I don't know where you would plug that in. So she wanted a full-on light on, and then of course the owl comes in, and she's either scared of him or he's making too much noise, but nonetheless she's complaining.
Okay, you know. I wouldn't want the owl in my tent.
No, it's
if I'd have gotten up at 6 a.m., I'd be like, deal with it yourself.
Yeah. I think just the way she went about complaining about it, he's like, all right, fine, I'll get it. And then shoot him away, the owl. And then is this where we have the raft opening?
Yes. Just open that flap, pull that cord behind you, like, boom.
To be fair, he did just say the cord behind you. And you knew as soon as she went to pull it, because they set that up right in the car.
Of course.
Don't want to pull that. So, yeah. Oh my goodness.
So of course, this all the slapstick comedy is from these Lucy writers, and you know, you can't miss that. It had to happen that way. Now they're in the raft in the water. After this, right?
No,
after her coffee her and bread. Hopping.
The what?
Oh,
I
yeah.
Love that.
Getting
I
stuck
love
in her the hop, sleeping bag.
Down to see him.
Yeah, jumping.
And then,
some good hops.
Yeah. I know, but the end she was like big hops.
Yeah.
But then that's where he calls her stupid for getting it caught. She's like, oh, I thought I had to. I love how sassy Susan is in this, you know, at the end, because she's starting to be like, well, if anything's worth doing, it's worth doing well, you know. And then
And I wrote it here, and I think it's where you said he calls her, you know, he speaks to her in Spanish. I'm not sure if you understand Spanish, Carrie, but the way he said it was, you're stupid, and you're probably one of the stupidest people I've ever met. And to scream that to her, I wrote it down because it stood out to me. I don't know if these writers, because no one understood what he was
saying.
In the boat, okay. or perhaps after the, oh yeah, you're right.
When he fell in the water.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you know, to say, and then, you know, he calls her other names too. It's just, this must've been in the heat of those two, Lucy and Desi, just angry at one another, because it was a little intense to be able to speak to your co-star that way, let alone your wife, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, even if we're going to go back just a teeny bit to when they were in the tent, no matter how annoying your significant other is, you know, he's like, well, those better be your last words, or the mosquitoes aren't the only thing.
Won't be the only thing to kill. Yeah. Ouch.
Like, And he said it like straight, like, I don't know that that was, is it meant to be a joke? Because he didn't say it as a joke. It didn't land to me as a joke. Like, I know that it,
I think we've established that he doesn't, right? He doesn't joke. Like,
he's going to kill someone.
Or when she says, I could just die. I can't tell if you're joking. I'm not. I don't think he mm-hmm. jokes very much.
Yeah. So it's yeah. just, it's such a bold thing, right? To say to your, like, no matter how annoying she's being, like.
Yeah. So when they're in the raft, yeah. in the water, I think she, with the knife, made a hole mm-hmm. in the raft and started to, of course, you know, fill up with water, and he falls into the water. He says she's got the IQ of a moron.
I know, that was rough. I'd be like, I'm not helping you find all these thousands of scoops you right. got. And bye.
Then, listen, I told my husband, this, I was like, if you ever tell me.
Not me, I'll not tell me. You that.
I love that.
Not, I hated when he was like, don't think. I'll do the thinking, you do the rowing.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. like, she's a person, she's allowed to think, you know, like, I don't know. There's,
and in there they have one of those bloopers where the ore goes into the water, and then the next scene they're both on back right on the boat before they go over. But yeah, it was very intense the way he started just berating her. And after the moron line, then that's when she's had enough. Like, that was that was her tipping point.
Right.
That she wants to leave. He's like, fine, have a good time walking. I mean,
I know. Gosh.
Yeah. Again, this felt like the end of Long Trailer, where they're also, you know, mm-hmm. at their wit's end. Big fight.
Right, where it's like, okay, this is the end of the marriage. Mm-hmm. I mean.
Yeah, that's right.
This was like a Hail Mary, right? Like, they were doing this to try to save their marriage. Mm-hmm. And you see it a bit more in the Long Trailer. I feel like this one, you see, you know, they're going down different paths. But I could see her going home, stewing, being angry, and then more and more fights going on. Definitely, if he's going to be gone for 2 years, like, that's a long separation. So you can kind of, maybe it's not the end of their marriage here, but it's definitely the beginning of the end, right? And so
she says, no, I'll go. She's going home with one of the other people that are there.
Men, yeah, that come up.
And so this scene, you guys can probably help me with. The angel comes in and sort of messes with the formula, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he must have taken the 383
he
out.
Puts it more talc
back.
Or
just adds more talcum powder, mm-hmm. so that the 383 is basically nothing. But mm-hmm. yeah, he messes it up so that it won't work. It's basically just talcum powder is what they think at the end. So it didn't work.
That changes his plans, that 2 year trip, correct? They no longer are going on that
right
trip.
They think that's off the table.
Yeah,
well, at the beginning, that's what he thinks, right? So mm-hmm. because it doesn't work, or they think it doesn't work, he sprays it all, it doesn't work, and that's when he leaves and goes, sits by the tree, and
have that heart to heart, make that connection. That,
yeah it was a mm-hmm. connection. She's, you know, and I think that kind of does show that, like, at the base of their marriage, you know, she still cares.
They
about
still
him.
Care,
she
yeah. Can,
yeah, mm-hmm. she wanted to be there, you know, and she says, you know, is it that really that bad? And he goes, well, we won't have to go, you know, on this mm-hmm. trip anymore. So he thinks it's over until the guys, I guess, try redo it. You know, they remix it and then it works.
I don't think I can turn my personality that fast after that.
I know people that can.
Yeah.
I know people that can, where it's like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Good,
like,
on you, but I can't forget.
Oh, no.
After all those.
I can't.
Names, yeah, that I wouldn't can't. Have been an all in one afternoon thing. Not, you know.
Like, yeah.
That was a few hours.
It looked like.
That's some movie magic.
Yeah. They only had a few minutes left. And so, of course, they had to kiss and make up.
Put a bow on it.
Kiss and make it, wrap it all up.
And here's where they throw in the dunt.
Yes.
Yeah. Word. At the very end.
No, and so that's
what
we know.
The last thing that's said is her making.
Took a nod to the Lucy fans. Yeah. But all in all, I'd give it maybe a 5. out of 10.
I was going to say it's not horrible, but it's not my top. So
yeah,
I'd say somewhere around 5, 5, 6.
I guess there. If we weren't Lucy Desi fans, would we stick around for the entire thing, watch it again and appreciate it? Probably not.
That's true.
I think our admiration and adoration of the actors kind of keep us much more
definitely
tolerable of a film like that, because the writing is just no good. But yeah, what would you give it, Carrie?
I'm sticking with you guys. I think a 5.
Yeah.
I mean, especially this time around, I legit was like, I am here for these outfits and the scenery.
Right. I was going to say the scenery.
They see it with 10 out of 10.
It was, off the charts. That was fabulous.
Right? That helped.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did love that. So. And so, yeah, this, what's interesting is that this film was, of course, produced at Desilu under the banner of Zandra Productions, which was only for a little while. And Zandra Productions, of course, backwards is Arnaz. So they only had that for a little bit of time. Maybe, I think it was maybe 10 years or something before it was dissolved. But I think this was the only one that was done under that banner of Zandra Productions. I don't know why that was.
So I think I read that they had a few more the works, but because this one didn't make any money, like they just didn't follow through with any other projects, which is unfortunate because I would have liked to see what else they might have had up their sleeves, but at least they gave us plenty of episodes.
That's true. And it just felt like a half of I Love Lucy, but the wardrobe was my favorite too.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
It was really good. Any last remarks on this film or the acting, or actually have any of you seen, I'm sure you have, the Too Many Girls? This is the only one of three that they starred in together, of course, of Lucy, but I'm saying movies.
I haven't. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I saw
just
that.
Showed it on TCM.
Yeah,
think,
they had a Desi. They had a Desi night, I think.
Yeah.
And so they showed it.
He's such a baby in that one.
Yes, he was. Which is why I had a hard time with Javier Bardem in the movie, because I know what he looked like when they met, and Javier looks like a grown man.
An
adult.
Oh, that's just one of the many problems.
One of the many.
Whatever. We don't have time for that.
I already forgot about it because I was so. Have you seen the documentary?
No,
Carrie.
The Amy Poehler one yet?
Yes.
No.
Okay, so I think
so excited to see that.
You are going to love this documentary. It was treated with such love and attention to, of course, all of this was with the Arnaz kids' permission and all of their videos and stuff. And these, you see a lot of
input, probably more.
Tons of it. And a lot of, you got Carol Burnett on there. You've got, a lot of interviews on there. But what I love is that the opening scene, you've seen the trailer of this, the opening scene is a lot of unearthed and unseen video, which I love because you think you've seen everything, right? And then you see videos.
They dug up some more gems.
Yes.
Awesome. Yay. Well, and I trust the hands of Amy Poehler and Ron Howard a lot more.
Oh, it was great. It was really, really good.
We keep saying we need to get those two. We need interviews with both of them.
Oh, I'll get right on that.
Come on. Add that to the list.
Ron Howard, let's go.
Amy and Ron, I got it. Next week. Sure. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Carrie. I mean, you've been so nice to join us on, these reviews, because I know you're busy. But do you have any sort of trips or any, events you want to plug of your own?
Yeah, shout outs for yourself. Plug
something. Oh, golly. Well, tomorrow, our first tea No, you're good.
Yeah.
We kick off our season, and this is appropriate. So because we always do like a Valentine's kind of theme, tomorrow we do our I Love Lucy tea.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for those pictures.
Oh my gosh.
Know
there'll be a ton of those.
Oh my gosh.
And then we've got a lot of bookings. We just got a booking to do our tribute show in Madison, and we're going to be in Tennessee. And
we have a Lucy Day coming, right?
Ohio.
Yeah. We've got a lot of, Madison, Indiana, Greenville, Tennessee. But we've gotten a lot of, who did I get? A campground in Texas and a campground in California.
Oh.
I was like, woo, we're not going that far this year, but we might be putting a little tour in the works because something is going on with Camping Page. We've gotten more like our tribute show bookings in the last 2 months than
I would love when you come to California, because I'll drive to wherever you guys are performing.
Well, we got to get it out there. We've not been to Washington, to California, and to Nevada with this particular camper. So that's on the list.
Yeah. That's you have to at least do the tour if you come and visit, you know, the what the Lucy houses are and all that.
Yes, please.
All right. Thank you guys for listening to this breakdown of Forever Darling, and find us everywhere.
Yay. Good to see you guys again.
Yeah, you guys. Too.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Let me
see. Bye.
Bye.